headlines at this hour. Well, Iran launches large-scale military drills in the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz. A series of explosions rock the Thai capital Bangkok, killing at least three people. Also, our political crisis in Belgium. Coalition government collapses following the prime minister's resignation.
It is 2200 GMT and 2:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us. Well, our top story this hour, Iran is showing off its military might with major drills in the Persian Gulf and the strategic Strait of Hormuz.
Naval, air, and ground units from Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps are taking part in the drills, codenamed Great Prophet 5. Well, the world got its first glimpse of an ultra-wide vessel called Ya Mehdi. The ship has radar evading stealth capabilities, but that's not all. It's also armed with guided missiles. Over 300 speedboats capable of firing rockets and missiles were also showcased on the first of the three-day drills. Footage shows speedboats firing missiles on a larger warship described as a mock target.
Well, the U.S. has said Israel would not attack Iran without consulting Washington. Vice President Joe Biden says Tel Aviv has agreed not to strike Iran before a new round of sanctions are imposed against the country over its nuclear energy program. Biden says he expects the new economic sanctions in late April or early May. He claims that there is almost a universal stance in the case of sanctions. This is while China and Russia have always advocated diplomacy over the issue, over and again announced its nuclear program is wholly peaceful, aimed at meeting the nation's energy needs. Well, a NATO foreign ministers arrived in Estonia's capital for a two-day meeting. On the agenda is Turkey's proposal on Iran's nuclear energy program.
Well, Ankara opposes sanctions against its eastern neighbor and has expressed its willingness to broker a deal for a low-enriched uranium swap. This comes as the West is preparing to review a list of sanctions. Here's more on that.
Turkey has stepped up efforts to stop sanctions against Iran. In its recent meeting with EU Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton, Turkey's foreign minister put forward a proposal that includes brokering a deal for a uranium swap. Experts say Turkey's attempts for reviving the frozen talks between Iran and the West is the best option at the moment.
Turkey's role as an increasingly important regional player has increased in recent times. So I think the proposals that are coming from Foreign Minister Davutoğlu, you know, seem to be moving in the right direction. Whether or not at the end of the day they are going to be acceptable to all the other players internationally and the Iranians, of course, still remains to be seen. But hopefully they will be.
This comes as some Western countries are getting ready to review a list of sanctions against Iran. The European Union has repeated that a two-track approach, which includes diplomacy but does not preclude sanctions, is the only way to solve the nuclear issue. Turkish diplomats say Lady Ashton could play an role in the discussion. Ashton's office, however, indicated no change in EU position.
The policy of the EU on Iran is that we follow a two-track approach. We always set a preference for a negotiated solution, but if Iran does not suspend a nuclear program, as already stipulated in several occasions, there is no other option than to work on the UN resolution on further sanctions.
Turkey's foreign minister said his recent visit to Washington indicates the situation is becoming more serious every day, and sanctions are very likely. However, he says there are steps that can be taken to prevent it, and has urged all parties involved to tone down their rhetoric to avoid unnecessary provocation.
Iran is a direct neighbour of Turkey, and Turkey wants to have a positive and stable relationship with Iran. And again, Turkey is trying to project itself as an increasingly important regional power.
Turkey also wants to become a member of the European Union, although it still needs to fulfill many requirements before it can join the 27-country bloc. Washington has described Turkey's efforts on Iran as constructive, but also says Iran has expressed no willingness to take into account the concerns of the international community. Iran, a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, insists its nuclear program is for peaceful purposes only. Iran's foreign minister also said Iran wants one-on-one talks with all UN Security Council members except the US, with the aim of reaching a nuclear fuel agreement. The discussion on Turkey's proposal is expected to continue on the sidelines of NATO's foreign ministers' meeting in Tallinn. In the upcoming days, Turkey's foreign minister will also hold talks with his Brazilian counterpart on the same subject, as both countries continue to push for a diplomatic solution to the issue and no sanctions. NMR Press TV, Brussels.
Well, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has denounced, quote, satanic pressures on its country and Zimbabwe. During a visit to Zimbabwe, Ahmadinejad said the two countries are facing mounting pressure only because they are trying to maintain their sovereignty and freedom. The Iranian president also lashed out at the United Nations Security Council for yielding to pressures from powerful countries. Ahmadinejad is expected to open a trade investment fair in the African country. He is also scheduled to visit Uganda. Well, in other news, there seems to be no end in sight to the political crisis in Thailand.
Indeed, a series of explosions have rocked Bangkok's main financial hub, leaving at least three people dead and over seven injured. Three blasts have ripped through the Thai capital's business district. One of the explosions struck outside the country's biggest agribusiness group. Another blast hit near a hotel. Thailand's deputy prime minister has blamed opposition protesters for the deadly grenade attacks. The blast prompted Prime Minister Abhisit Wichachiva to call for an emergency meeting with security officials. The unrest comes only days after hundreds of troops entered the district to prevent protesters from gathering there. The Thai army has warned anti-government protesters to leave their rally base in the capital or face a crackdown. But the red-shirted opposition refuses to end its campaign against the government.
Well, the Belgian government has collapsed after 5 months in power. Here's more.
Prime Minister Yves Leterme's government fell apart shortly after one of the five parties in the ruling coalition quit over a long-running dispute. The Flemish Liberals, Open VLD, withdrew from the cabinet after the government failed to find a solution to the language dispute between Belgium's Dutch and French-speaking communities. The move was also triggered by a row over electoral rules in the suburbs of Brussels. The Flemish Liberals' withdrawal apparently left Leterme with no other choice but to resign.
The remaining four parties still have 76 votes out of 150 votes. So that means that they still have a majority, but it's a very slim majority. We're talking about one vote, which really makes the government weak, and it takes away its political clout.
Leterme submitted his resignation to King Albert II after a cabinet meeting.
I think what counts now is that the general interests of the country and our citizens should prevail. We're going to have major issues in the coming weeks.
But the resignation was not immediately accepted, as it could seriously damage the country's economy and its international reputation.
The king withheld such a decision for the time being, saying that the continued disagreement could seriously affect the social and economic well-being of the Belgian population. It can also affect the standing within the European Union.
A statement from the monarch's office says the king has already started consulting key politicians to find a solution to the crisis. The political instability could harm the country's status in the EU. Belgium currently hosts several of the bloc's key institutions, including its parliament, commission and council.
Elsewhere, stock markets have reacted strongly to the news that the Greek deficit last year was higher than predicted. We have Jennifer Baker in Brussels with more on that story.
According to the latest figures released on Thursday, the Greek economy is in even worse shape than previously feared. The EU statistics body Eurostat revealed that the country's deficit reached at least 13.6% of GDP in 2009. The EU's limit for budget deficits is 3% of GDP per year. The new figure is considerably worse than previous estimates of a budget gap of 12.7%. And worryingly, a Eurostat official admitted that there are some doubts about the reliability of the data submitted by Athens and warned that the Greek figures may be revised further. But Amadeo Tardio, European Commission economic spokesman, played down the significance of these figures, saying that the economic crisis had made projections more difficult. The target for 2010 remains a reduction of 4 percentage points, but has the credibility of Greece been damaged by today's figures?
Now we have more reliable figures, and we have a clear commitment by the Greek authorities to work hand in hand with Eurostat to redress the statistical situation. Reliable and accurate statistics are a matter of concern, and we are seeing steady progress in this respect.
Greece is currently in talks with the International Monetary Fund about an emergency rescue package worth up to 45 billion euros, 30 billion of which will come other eurozone countries. Meanwhile, senior economists are looking into complex financial transactions known as currency swaps, which the country used to hide the extent of its deficit.
We knew that probably that there would be another revision coming up, so even today was expected. But still, you see that the markets go crazy. And I think probably they are not really Greece to take, to go to the IMF, to go to the EU and to take up these loans. I think this eventually will happen.
The Greek government has wants to reduce the deficit to 5.6% of GDP in 2011 and to 2.8% of GDP in 2012. But spending cutbacks measures being introduced by Athens to restore its finances are being resisted. On Thursday, tens of thousands of Greek civil servants staged a 24-hour strike in protest against the austerity measures. Meanwhile, the effect of these figures was felt on the euro and stock markets, with fresh worries that Greece may be about to default on its debts. Jennifer Baker, Press TV, Brussels.
Are you watching World News here on Press TV? It's time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. Well, Iran launches large-scale military drills in the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz. A series of explosions rocked the Thai capital Bangkok, killing at least 3 people. And political crisis in Belgium. Coalition government collapses following the prime minister's resignation.